I pulled the bandana from my jeans and tied it around the wound as he grimaced. Have you got your phone?
I do. Do you want it?
Nope, but if I get shot, I want you to be able to call 911 and get help. He nodded and pulled the phone from his jacket pocket and punched a button.
Go find Schiller.
I stood and once again thought seriously about getting my large frame Colt from my truck. Instead, I made my way down the aisle as more lights flickered on.
Hey!
I turned back to look at the Cheyenne Nation. He pointed at my neck.
The scarf. You found her?
Kind of. As I moved back through the storage level, I cursed the movement-activated lights that were making me a marvelous target, and I looked for something handy like a steel bar, baseball bat, or a machete that might have been left lying around. Nothing. The maintenance staff of the Metro were far too conscientious. At the far end of the building, I found a freight elevator and, beside it, another doorway. I stood there for a moment, wondering what the heck to do. Either keep prowling this level for a would-be assassin, or head toward the main arena where the most likely target was playing in a championship basketball game. I headed through the doorway and found myself in an electrical area with humming breaker boxes, junction boxes, and conduits I didn't want to go near, and finally, at another set of doors that led to a loading dock at the rear of the building where we'd first entered. There were forklifts, mobile cranes, and other heavy equipment, and an office with windows facing into the loading area. The same young man was watching monitors on the wall. When he saw me, he stood and slid the window open. Hey, you can't be in here.
Yep, I can.
Pulling out my badge, I said, Sheriff Walt Longmire, I've got a wounded man down in the seating storage area. He's been shot. The kid stared at me. Which part did you not get, Sheriff? Wounded man, seating storage area, or shot?
I better call somebody.
If you would do that, and make it the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Department, please. I glanced around as he picked up the phone from the desk. In the meantime, you didn't see anybody come by here, did you?
No.
He was interrupted by someone on the line.
Hello? Yes. I've got a guy here who says somebody's been shot in the seating storage area.
He paused for a second.
No, shot. Like with a gun.
His name is Henry Standing Bear.
Wait.
He looked at me.
There's a bear in the storage area?
I started down the hallway to the left and the stairs that led to the upper concourse, figuring it might give me a better perspective in my search for Schiller.
No, the guy who got shot with a gun, his name is Henry Standing Bear, and he's going to need medical attention.
He hollered after me.
Hey, you're going to have to stay here.
When I got to the next set of doors at the top of the stairs, there was an opening to the lobby. The only person there was Teresa Winmoon, who sat at a vacant table and was doctoring a large soda with a pint of Old Crow. She looked up at me and smiled.
Hey, Marshal.
Sheriff.
Whatever.
She took a sip and gestured toward the tunnel leading to the arena.
Hell of a game.
Boy, howdy.
Teresa, have you seen anybody come through here?
My mother won't let me sit with them. My own mother, can you believe that?
She gestured toward the arena with her cup hand, spilling a little high octane onto the floor.
I've been looking for Jimmy, but I guess he decided to sit this one out.
Yep.
Say, aren't you supposed to be coaching?
I started to move toward the tunnel. Something came up.
You want a drink?
No, I better get inside. I started to turn, but then paused for just a second.
Teresa, promise me you won't cause a scene. I mean, don't go out on the court for any reason. Do you understand me?
She shook her head and took another sip.
Not you, too.
I'm serious. I turned to go, but then came back and expressed my desires with a little more emphasis.
And no folding chairs, you hear?
She stared up at me, noncommittal, and then took another slug from the soda cup. Sighing, I turned away from her table and moved through the tunnel to the main arena, where a great deal of cheering was going on. Even the concessioners were standing near the opening to watch the game. There was 1:32 on the clock, and the two teams were tied. Everyone in the place was standing and screaming. The Lady Morning Stars were on defense as the Navajo Eagles brought its offense up the court, careful to not give our girls a shot at taking the ball. The same short-haired girl who had been handling the ball when I had left was dribbling toward Jaya, who spread her arms like a bird of prey, fingers thrumming like pin feathers. I looked out over the crowd of close to 10,000 rabid fans in search of a Nazi needle in a haystack. I moved to the railing, trying to get an idea of what the maniac was thinking. Killer here, on the court, as some kind of statement? With a handgun? No way to get away. And why? It didn't make any sense, and if he was the one who had shot Henry, why hadn't he stayed there and finished the job before coming up?